Today's topic is Kishu Hatam, but before we begin Kishu Hatam, we're going to talk about some things that happen after the Shechita, before the Kishu Hatam. That is that there are four things that are checked before the animal is declared that it's kosher. The first is the Shechit wants to make sure that he cut the simonim, enough of the simonim, that is to say for a bird at least one simon, the right of one simon, and for a behemoth most of both simonim. And if he doesn't do it, excuse me, if he didn't do the check at all, then the animal is considered to be in Vela, because before it was shechted, it was had a cheskes inus of ruach, and therefore if you don't do this check to make sure that the siman will cut, enough of the siman will cut, the animal is considered in Vela, and the animal is treif. When the shechet does this check, when he's doing this check to make sure he cut enough, he will sometimes find that the vesha is not cut all the way. You should be careful not to rip out the rest of the vesha at that point, assuming the animal is still alive, because that itself would be an ikur b'miyat basra if you pull out the vesha while the animal is still alive. Okay. Next check is he wants to make sure that they cut the siman in the right place. If he didn't check them, if not, he's potentially made a hagram, and he may have shechted too high up, and it wouldn't be a kosher shechita. And again, here, if he does not make this check to see that the animal was cut, that the cut was done in the right place, then the animal is considered an avela. Also, assuming that he cut relatively high, the way the Taz Prima Kodin say is that if he cut relatively high, where there's a possibility that it might have been a hagrama, then if he doesn't do the check, the animal is again considered as a suffering avela. Okay, the third check is, and this one is for poultry, birds, and different kinds of birds, there, the shechet needs to, there's a particular chashash that the shakos are made, a particular chashash that the animal will be a shmuta. Shmuta is a variation of an ikor, which is to say is that the simonim were ripped out of their place before shechita. They were pulled out of their place and not attached properly in the neck the way they're supposed to be. That's a variation of an ikor, and that animal would be in the fatal also. It's particularly a problem for birds. And therefore, the Ramah and the Tassism, you're not willing to check for it. If you check and you find a problem, I'm going to describe the check in a second. If you check and find it, then of course the animal's in Vela, but you're not willing to. But most follow what the Shach and Tushar say, is that the Shechet is required to check for Shmuta, for birds. And I'm going to describe to you what the check is, but it might be a little too gory to do an actual video of it happening, so here's just an animation of it happening. At the Shechet, and right afterwards, the bird is laying with its neck pointed up, its head pointed towards the shechet, and the neck pointed up. And after the shechita, the shechet will press down with his thumb on the underside of the beak, so by the shipui koiva, and he just gives a little bit push down and backward towards the body of the bird, and that causes the kana to pop out, to slide out from the makam hashechita. So that's, of course, a good time to check whether he cut enough. You do that also. It's used for that as well. To see if he cut enough and if he cut in the right place. But for the check for the shmuta is, that when he lets go, when he releases that, if the animal is healthy and there was no shmuta, the kana will slide back to where it came from. As opposed to if there was a shmuta, then the kana will stay out. It's sort of not attached anymore where it was. It won't slide back in. So it won't have the elastic to pull it back in, and that animal would be in the vela. Now, if a person does that test and it doesn't slide back in, it's in the vela because of a shmuta, and the shach and some chodesh say you should do that. In fact, that is what people do. And the shmuta would potentially could have happened when the animal, sometimes it finds while you're shechting it, while you're holding onto it, the tvis itself, the animal, it is in a way that rips out. Kana, if you hold it in the wrong way, or the animal was fighting to not be healthy to rip it out, or some it happened, days beforehand when the animal was just walking around. There are some shechtim who claim that when, particularly for older birds, it's not such a good simon, and it might not slip back in, and it's still a living, it still was not a shmuta. Other shechtim said that was not true, and that it's not accurate, so I don't know enough to answer that question. It sure seemed like from the post game, and if it doesn't slide back in, you should assume it's a shmuta. But I just want to point out that the Mata Asher says is that sometimes you could tell that there's a reason why it's not going back. Like, let's say the cut itself of the shechita was very narrow, so it just can't, physically just not getting back in. So he says, okay, so widen the cut a little bit and just see if it slides back in. The goal here is to see whether it's still attached deeper in and it pulls it back in. But assuming it, everything is normal, it should be able to slide back in, and if it doesn't, the animal is assumed to be shmuta. If the person never checked it, if the person did not check it, then it's mutter. But of course, the Rama and the Taz is mechuyev to check in the first place. Of course, it's mutter. The Shach himself says that the Shach also says you are mechuyev to check, but he says, but if you didn't check, then it's mutter b'diavad also. But he says a reason that's a little hard to understand. He says the reason is, he says, go look, and you look in halachas, if a person forgot to check lungs, and the lungs got lost, and he can't check them anymore, then the animal's kosher. So here too, it's the same thing. So Simcha Chadash says, well, that is true that it says that in Simcha Matzah, but Rama over there argues and says that if you didn't check the lungs and you lost them, then the animal, we don't eat the animal, we consider it to be treif. So what's the riot for when it seems bad? Simcha Chadash says, I have an answer to that question. He doesn't tell us what that is. But anyhow, Lamai says that the Raman, the Tazi, and Mechut to check in the first place. The Shach himself, who says, Mechut to check, says, it's Motav B'dievet, so however, it's okay, if the person didn't make this check, then it will be Motav B'dievet. And our last check that the Shaykh needs to do is, of course, we had mentioned some time back, is that the Shaykh needs to check his health to make sure he didn't have any pegimis on it, which would make the animal also potentially unavailable. If you found pegimis afterwards, you would shoot the animal's treif. Okay, so those are four checks that are made. They have to do with the shechita. There's a whole other set of checks, which is the checks for to see whether the animal is a treifa on the internal organs. That will be in the future. These are the four that have to do with the shechita itself that have to be checked. Okay, so now if we want the Kisui Adam, first just some basic information about Kisui Adam, just a quick review of what that is. The mitzvah of Kisui Adam is that if a person shechs a chaya or an oif, then he is, some of the blood that comes out during the shechita needs to be covered with dirt. Okay, well, it comes from the Torah. So the mitzvah is only for birds and for animals that we call chayas. We call it a non-domesticated animal. The best example we have that is a deer. As opposed to for behemoths, like a cow and a sheep and a goat, those are not mechuyev, they do not need kisui adam. We'll talk more about that in a bit. You only need to do kisui adam if the shechita was kosher and the animal was kosher. If the animal was an availer because the shechita was improper, or the animal was a treifa, then there's no kisui adam. So the Shulchan Aruch says, so you should wait to do the kisui adam until you've made your bedikas of the organs of the animal to make sure that, well, of course, that was not an availer, but that you know right away, but check inside to make sure it's not a treifa. Okay? And on that, the Rama says, it's true you have to wait to check for them, but lots of things that we passel as a treifa, or even an availer, are only chumras or sfeikas, and therefore, if you're one of those situations, the animal, you should do kisui adam without a bracha, because there's a very good chance that the animal really is kosher, and we'll just be machmir on that. Okay? And also, is that when you make kisui adam, you're not mechuyev to cover all the blood, just some of the blood has to be covered. Okay, now, in order to do the mitzvah kisui adam, there needs to be blood underneath it and blood on top of it. That when we say there's the blood, there has to be dirt underneath it and dirt on top of it. The word we use dirt, because the Torah says be'afar, but it doesn't really have to be dirt. There's all kinds of different things, all kinds of different materials. We actually once talked about in Hilchos Tehillim what those different materials that might qualify are, and all kinds of things that either are suitable for growing, also called afar, or things that the Torah calls afar, like gold dust, is also considered afar. Okay, so different things that are considered afar, and most common, commercial slaughterhouses use sawdust. Okay, the dirt that's used for kisui adam needs to be loose or powdered. It's called afar tichoyach, and it can't be like in clumps. Chunks and clumps like that. Now, when the shaykh comes to do the kisui adam, as I said, there has to be dirt underneath it. So if the afar tichoyach is there already, when he walks in the morning, he sees that there's afar tichoyach there, like in a slaughterhouse, there's sawdust already on the floor, then, or shtam, where he's shechting, it's already on the floor, then the mechaber says that he should verbally make a note that says, this dirt is going to be used for kisui adam. If he didn't do it, but the evidence okay, but l'chadchila he's supposed to say this dirt is going to be the kisui adam. But if he had to bring the dirt from someplace else, or he had to actually grind up the dirt so it should be more powdery and less clumpy, then he is not does not need to speak anything out, because the actions and stuff that he's doing shows that he's doing this for Kishir Adam, and the same, of course, for afterwards. When afterwards, when he pours his dirt on top, it's obvious that that's what he's doing. Okay, so now let's talk about a few different questions that have to do with Kishir Adam. First is, the bracha is that we recite on Kisui Adam is a Kisui Dam De'ofar. Okay, and those last two words, the Mata Asha tells us there's a particular way they should be pronounced. The first word of those, the first, second to last word is Dam, which is pronounced with a Kamat instead of a Patach. It's Dam, not Dam. And the reason is because he says that every time in the Torah when it uses that word by itself, that word is pronounced with a Kamat, like in our Pasei. Now the pasuk says the pasuk will use the word dam instead of dam. The only time it uses the word dam is when it's connected to another word, like dam ha'adam. Then the word the dam is connected to another word. Then it's called dam. Otherwise, it's called dam. And therefore, when we make the bracha, we use the lashon haTorah and we say a kisui dam. That's the second place word. The last word is pronounced be'afar, as opposed to bit offer, it's pronounced with a segol, bit offer. And that's, he says, because that's how the Torah writes it. V'chisel bit offer, that's how the Torah writes it. In the pasuk of Kisui Adam. And I asked somebody who I know, Rishol Kohn, I said, then tell me, can you explain to me the diptych of that? Why is it, in fact, it's bit offer, not bit offer? So I'll quickly go through it. He said the following. Letters in the Torah are divided into different groups. And one group, excuse me, it's called the Osius Groinius, the ones that are pronounced guttural letters, and though there are five of them, Aleph, Hey, Ches, Ayin, and Resh, and the way, when you have a Shervish that starts with an Ois, one of those Osius Groinius, then the prefix of that, to that Shervish, like Bet, or for the base for that, the Nakuda for that prefix depends on which of the Osius Groinius it was. If the first was an Aleph or a Resh, then you give it a kamatz. Like the pasuk says, ha'aretz or ha'rokia. Okay, those are the aleph and the resh, the letter before the prefix gets a kamatz. What happens if it's a ches, like in the word nechmad, then it gets a segel. The prefix, like the nun here, in this case the nun, the prefix nun, gets a segel. What happens if it's a hey or an ayin? Then it depends. If the stress is on the ois groinius, then the preceding letter gets a kamatz, and if it's like in our case with a stress is on the end of the word be'afar, then the prefix of the shayrish gets a segel. Like in our case be'afar, be'afar, the word is the stress is on the end of the word, and therefore the prefix to the shayrish that started with an ayin gets a segel. Okay, so that's how it's supposed to be pronounced. The akisui dam be'afar. Excuse me. Now the Rama says that the first time someone does Kisui Adam in their life, the first time they do that, they should say the bracha of Shechiyam. So a number of the Achronim ask on this Rama, why does he say you do you should make a Shechiyanu, when we see in Hichos Tzitzis, the Rama says that we do not make a Shechiyanu the first time a person wears a talis, except on a circumstance where there's another reason, which is it's a new beged, so he might make it off the beged Shabbat, but also the mitzvah, that he's doing the mitzvah for the first time with this, he does not make a Shechiyanu. And that, then, what's the reason why you don't make a Shechiyanu? It comes from a sheet of Tosfos. The Tosfos says is, we only make a Shechiyanu for a mitzvah, is only made if the mitzvah either comes from time to time, it's a time-related mitzvah, like Lola Vashayfer, or it's a mitzvah that brings simcha. But otherwise, we don't make Shechiyanu, and therefore the talis and tefillin are not time-related. They do them every day, and they don't bring any simcha to them, so we don't make a bracha on them. And since the Rama passes like that over there, why doesn't he... So Kisui Adam should be the same thing. It's not time-related, and it doesn't bring any simcha. So why would the Rama over here say you should make a bracha on Kisui Adam? Now, there is another shita, not for today, shita the Rama that says on talis and tefillin, you actually do make a Shechiyanu. That machlokes in part depends on how to read Gemara Menachos that talks about the brachos you make when you put a talis and tefillin. So one Tosfos learns that Gemara is meduyik, that you do not make Shechiyanu, other Tosfos are not like that, and the Gemara says that's where the machlokes over here depends on, how you read that Gemara Menachos on Mem Beis and Beis, whether there's a raya or there's not a raya from there as to whether you make a Shechiyanu on tefillin. Okay, but that's not our point. Our focus is on Tosfos, the Rambam Pasul, the Mechaber, and the Rambam Pasul on Tosfos, back in Hilchos Tzitzis. So why over here would the Rambam say that you should make a bracha of Shechinah on Kisui Adam? So there's a few answers. So the Magen Avraham says, that Kisui Adam doesn't happen so often, not such a common mitzvah, and therefore that's equivalent to being time related. It's not really time related. It doesn't depend on the note, it's not like a shayfar or a lulav that happens at a certain time of the year. But it comes from time to time, that's also considered to be time related, as opposed to talis, which you do every single day. And since you do wear talis every day, that's why you don't make a shechianu. The Magen Avraham says that's the same reason why the Mechaber says that you make a bracha of shechianu on a bris milah. The Rambam happens to argue, says the Minhag is not like that, but the Mechaber holds you make a bracha of shechianu on a bris milah because it also comes only once in a while. It's not time related, but it comes only once in a while. And the Rambam says, the Shulchan Aruch says that this is a Gemara. The very last words of the Gemara of Pesachim, say that you make a shechianu on a pidyon haben. So then that's because for the same thing, pidyon habens don't happen so often. They're not time related, but they don't happen so often, and therefore you make a shechianu. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Okay, the Shach says that he brings from the Rukeh that a mitzvah, even if a mitzvah is not time related, but the very first time the person does the mitzvah, that has had it in its equivalent to doing something that's time related. Time related means it happens once in a while, and when it happens, that's that it's a simcha to have at that specific time. And the very first time also has an equivalent amount of is equal to that, even though the mitzvah is not specifically time related. Okay, now, and that comes, the arayah to that comes from a Gemara that says that a kohen, he brings a mincha, when he oversees the bringing of a mincha, according to Rashi, the first time he does it, he makes a shechianu. So what's the reason for that? Why would he make a shechianu if he brings a mincha the first time? Minchas happen every day of the weekend, basically. Mikdash. The reason is because, for me, it's my first time doing the mitzvah, and therefore, I make shechianu for me, because even though the mitzvah is not time-related, for me, doing it the first time is as if it's time-related, and therefore, I recite a shechianu when I bring the mincha the first time. The Shach says, of course, the argument against that is that that's Rashi Pshat. Tosfos learns that it's not talking about the kohen who brought it for the first time. Tosfos says that that Gemara is talking about a kohen who brings it at his mishmar. There are 24 mishmaras, which means it's basically a kohen only comes to the Beis Hamikdash twice a year. So if he comes to the Beis Hamikdash works in the Beis Hamikdash twice a year, it's time-related. So that's the reason why he makes a shechianu, is because when he came to the Beis Hamikdash, this is a mitzvah that happens twice a year. It's like a lot of other mitzvahs that are time-connected, and therefore that would be the case. But that's a potential riot from the Gemara. But the Shach says he argued this with Kiev. Kiev had said was that if it's the first time, that's because that's just as good as doing time-related. He says, well, that doesn't make sense. What about palace? A person at palace and tefillin, also the first time you should make a shechianu. So the whole sheet here we're talking about is the sheet of Tosfos. But on palace and tefillin, you do not make a shechianu. Well, those are also, why not? It's the first time. If first time is the same as time related, then you should make a shechianu also. Okay. So the Shach leaves off unsure whether you should make a shechianu on Kisui Adam. So Tfushar wants to defend the Rukeh, and he says that really the Rukeh is correct. The first time you do the mitzvah, it's as if it's time-related, and that's a special simcha, you make a shechianu for that mitzvah. But talis and tefillin are different. And talis and tefillin are different because talis and tefillin are mitzvahs that are, because of chinuch, tend to be done the first time someone does it is when they're a child. The Gemara says when a child is ready, he should do that. And therefore, since the most cases that are done for the first time when a person is a child, Chazal chose to not have a shechianu for those mitzvahs, because it just doesn't seem appropriate for this child to be making the bracha, that a mitzvah should have a shechianu mitzvah when it's a child. And therefore, even if the person happens to be an adult when it comes around, he should not make shechianu, because these mitzvahs are mitzvahs that are not associated with a shechianu. Two charges and gives another reason why Kisui Adam should have shechianu, and that's because, as I mentioned, Tosfos says one of the justifications of making shechianu is that it causes simcha. So he says Kisui Adam causes simcha because not because of the Kisui Adam himself, but because now that I did the Kisui Adam, now I've done what I had to, and I can eat the meat, and therefore it's a mitzvah that brings simcha because it allows me to go eat the meat afterwards. And therefore, it's not the etzem, not inherently something that causes simcha, but it's enough causing simcha that a person is allowed to make that. Now, this is the Shach sort of, pre-guesses it. You might say that. And the Shach says, that's not true. The Shach says, the Gemara says specifically that Kisa Adam does not bring Simcha. The Gemara specifically said that. So the Tushar says, no, that's not what the Gemara there was saying, comparing Kisa Adam to the Paraduma. So he said like this, the mitzvah paraduma, the Gemara says, does bring simcha, and that's because if there would have been no mitzvah paraduma, what would happen? A person who became tamei neis would be stuck. He would never be able to go into the neis hamikdash, and never be able to touch him, he would be stuck. So the mitzvah of paraduma brings a simcha because it frees the person to get rid of this tumma that otherwise he'd be stuck with. Now, but the mitzvah, let's say there'd be no mitzvah of kisei adam. So what would be the mitzvah? You have to shech the animal. You wouldn't have to do kisei adam. You would shech the b'chai or the bird. You wouldn't have to do kisei adam. So we wouldn't have any problems with it. But so that's what the Gemara means, that it doesn't bring simcha, because if there would have been no mitzvah, we wouldn't have been missing, so to speak, anything from our simcha over here. But what I said, now that we have the mitzvah, now we are supposed to do it before we eat the meat, and therefore, in practice, for us, it does bring simcha, and that's good enough. So the only little question on Tushar is the Tushar says this idea that Kisei Adam brings simcha because it allows you to eat the meat. He brings it from an Avodram who brings it from a Tosefta. That the Tosefta not, it's not talking about Kisei Adam. The Tosefta is talking about Truma. The person is Mafresh Truma, and the Avodram says that the Tosefta says you recite Shechianu on Kisei Adam and on Hafrosh's Truma, because now, and the logic, he says, and the logic is, why do you do it on Hafrosh's Truma? The logic is because once you mark the Truma, you can eat the fruit, so that brings a simcha that you're allowed to eat the fruit, and therefore, it shows that an indirect simcha is also good enough, and you should recite it Shechem. The only problem is, an R Tosefta doesn't say that. An R Tosefta, it's in Tosefta and Brachas, Halacha Yotes. There, in the preceding halachas, it tells you all kinds of other mitzvahs, and when you do this, you make a Shechem. And when by Hafrosh's Truma, it does not say it. Make shechem. So it's a little, we're missing something over here, because the Avodrams bring a raya from the Tosefta that causing simcha indirectly is also good enough to require shechem. In fact, our Tosefta doesn't say it. Okay. So just one last thing is that the Mate on this point is that the Mate Usher says that if the reason why you make shechem the first time a person does kisei adam is because it brings simcha, because he cannot eat the meat, then it only applies if the person who's doing the kisei adam is the person who's going to be getting the meat. But if Reuven the bird, so that somebody else can eat it, like I'm working in a slaughterhouse, or just stam, I'm shechting for you, and I do the kisei adam, I'm not going to get any of this meat. That's not considered that it gives you simcha, and therefore you would not be allowed to make shechem. So a point to this answer, there can be other answers, or we'll explain why kisei adam, a person should make a shechem. But of course, this answer, there are times when you should, but there are not every time as a person able to eat the first time. So just to summarize, we have questions as to whether the Rama says you should recite Shechianu. The Shach is not so sure if that's correct. Prim Gun says you should not recite Shechianu. He says it's a sophical view, you should not recite Shechianu the first time. But the Rama and the Magen Avraham and the Tushar say that a person should recite Shechianu the first time they do the mitzvah kisei adam. Okay. Before we finish, one more thing, and that is, I had mentioned that kisei adam is only performed for birds and for chayas, animals that qualify as a chaya. So the Shulchan Aruch says that the minhag is that they did not do kisei adam for the European buffalo. And the reason is because they assume that it's a kind of shar, a kind of a cow. It's a variation of a cow, and therefore the gross is a shar bar. And therefore, it's a behemoth, and behemoths don't need kisei adam. And the Rama says, no, the Rama says that we do kisei adam without a bracha, because we're not sure, is it a shar bar? Is it kind of a behemoth? Or is it an hayal habar, which is a kind of chaya, and which needs kisei adam? And therefore, misafik, we do kisei adam without a bracha, and in fact, that's for sure, everyone agrees that when you're not sure if something is a behemoth or chaya, then you do kisei adam without a bracha. So the Rama says, for European buffalo, that's what you should do, is do kisei adam without a bracha. So, based on that idea, which is when we're not sure, that's what we do kisei adam without a bracha, so Rabbi Ranan Broderick asked the following question. Way, way back, at the very first year in this series, we talked about whether zebu is kosher. Zebu is this unusual, this animal that has this unusual, it's sort of like a cow, but has an unusual hump and skin in the front, and has a little different coloring and hanging ears, you know, a little bit, quite a different looking animal. And the Chazon Ish said, that animal is so different that you can't eat it without a Masorah. It's not just a type of cow. You can't eat it without a Masorah. And Rav Herzog trying to say it has a Masorah, or maybe it doesn't have a Masorah, but they seem to be agreeing that the animal, you couldn't, that it was not a cow. Cow was not. So if it's not a cow, and so let's even say we eat it. We say, you know, it has the Simon Kasher, so we're allowed to eat it. You know, it has split others and chooses God, so you're allowed, to eat the animal. Fine, you're allowed to eat it. Why isn't it here? So why isn't it a suffix that might be a chaya? Whatever, we don't know exactly what it is, so it's a suffix chaya, you should have to kiss it down. In fact, people do not kiss it down. So for some of them, for some animals, I saw that Rashon Miller says, the brangus, the ones that are roiv non chaya, then, remember we spoke about that a brangus is roiv not chaya, its parentage is mainly not from chayas, so then he said, maybe it could be buffalo. I'm not sure exactly how that works, so it has to do with a shittabot and a bisachuba. But that's fine for that. What about the actual zibu itself? Of course, we're shechting it. So I guess what he says, well, you know, the Chazon Ish says, thinks that's maybe not a cow. He says, but we follow this issue for Moshe Baruch. And he says, of course, it's a cow. It's just a little bit of a different cow. You know, cows come in all different shapes and sizes. So it's basically a cow. And so forget about this idea you need Moshe for new animals. It's not a new animal. It's just a regular old animal. Just a different type of a cow. That's one answer. Because basically, it's a cow. And similarly, in a little bit of a different angle was someone brought to me a tshuva from Russia Weiss. I don't believe it's a published tshuva. Where he writes that basically it's a kind of a cow. He has other arguments on the Chazon Ish. He says, well, I said there isn't a Masorah. There's a, he, like Rav Herzog said, that there, he brings from well-established Jewish communities that have a Masorah to eat it. But he says, on this point, he says, the animal's basically it's a cow. He said, he even wants to claim that the Chazon Ish would have been open to that idea. That there are wordings in the Chazon Ish that give an implication that he may be open to saying that it's a variation of a cow. Not so clear. But basically, he also says that the reason why we don't think he said that is because for our purposes, we treat it like a cow, which is sort of like a throwback to what I mentioned from the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, who says about European buffalo, which is also a different kind of an animal, not exactly like your everyday cow. He says, we assume it's a cow, and you do not have to do kisiyadam.